Imagine if understanding data could unlock new opportunities for strategic decision-making and planning. In this chapter, we will explore the essential skills needed to identify, analyze, and effectively utilize data. Our journey will also cover the importance of collaboration with data teams and how to make data-driven decisions. Get ready to dive into the fascinating world of data analysis, where practical steps and real-world case studies await you. In this lesson, you'll develop an understanding of how to analyze the balance between data abundance and decision usefulness by exploring key clarifying questions. You'll learn to collaborate effectively with data teams, verifying data availability and assessing the sufficiency and bias of the data while planning for any additional collection needed. Next, you'll master the ability to evaluate data and model trade-offs, ensuring that you consider costs, cleanliness, and complexity before you initiate your analysis. Additionally, you'll apply a structured experimental design process, identifying focused questions and using noticeable interventions to audit the data transparently. Furthermore, it's essential to differentiate between raw data and meaningful metrics by defining governing objectives and developing cause and effect theories that align with your organizational goals. Lastly, we'll explore the characteristics and challenges of big data, understanding its diverse applications across sectors like government, healthcare, finance, education, and the Internet of Things. Now let's explore the essential considerations for determining what and how much data is needed. First, we'll look at a case insight involving a 250-page review book that, despite consuming hundreds of hours, added little value. By transitioning to quarterly, exception-only reporting, teams not only freed up valuable time, but also sharpened their focus on driving sales and performance. This leads us to a crucial question. Are we asking the right questions? It's vital to collect data to address a limited set of decision-critical queries rather than just what happens to be readily available. Next, we need to consider whether the data tells a coherent story. Integrating fragmented metrics allows us to connect drivers, outcomes, and context effectively. Let's not forget to ask if the data helps us look ahead. It's important to prioritize timely indicators that predict future performance instead of solely relying on insights from past reports. Lastly, we must balance quantitative data with qualitative insights, combining hard numbers with understanding the why behind behaviors. This holistic approach will guide us in making informed decisions with the data we gather. Let's dive into the essential checkpoints for collaborating effectively with the data team. First and foremost, it's crucial to confirm that relevant data already exists to meet our objectives. This includes checking for any prior experiments or logs that might provide insights, saving us the need to collect new data unnecessarily. Next, we must ensure our data is sufficient. We need to verify that it addresses a question comprehensively and is not distorted by latent factors. For instance, consider how variations in loan performance might arise from differences in issuance timing or market conditions. Then, we turn our attention to data bias. It's vital to assess whether our data is truly representative, as relying solely on sample size may lead to misleading conclusions if key segments are missing. Lastly, if we determine that more data is required, we need to make a strategic choice between employing observational studies, which are cheaper and faster but offer correlational insights, versus conducting experiments that can provide causal links, albeit at a higher cost and complexity. Here, we should always factor in ethical risks and potential brand backlash, drawing lessons from past incidents like newsfeed manipulation. Let's explore working with the data team by focusing on three critical aspects: cost, cleanliness, and complexity. First, we need to understand the cost of data. Trials, observations, and storage can accumulate millions in expenses. Additionally, we must account for the privacy and legal risks that arise, which require proper budgeting and governance. Next, let's diagnose data readiness. It's essential to identify whether our data is structured, semi-structured, or unstructured. This allows us to plan effectively for cleaning, addressing gaps, inaccuracies, and duplicates that can hinder our progress. Now, we should prefer simple models. Favoring straightforward models helps reduce the risk of overfitting and can considerably shorten our development cycles. We should only introduce complexity if it clearly enhances our decision-making process. Designing a business experiment requires a strategic approach to ensure meaningful insights. First, identify a narrow question. This means framing a specific, testable question centered on one variable or outcome you want to explore. Next, use a large enough intervention. It's crucial to implement changes that are noticeable enough to produce measurable results. Then, perform a data audit. This means listing all internal and external data you'll need for thorough analysis. Following that, select a study population. Choose a representative subgroup of your target customers to ensure your findings are relevant. After that, randomize. This step involves assigning participants randomly to treatment and control groups to avoid any bias in your results. Finally, commit to a plan and stick to it. Define the duration, variables, and procedures before starting and avoid any interference midway. Let the data speak by reporting all results transparently, using the insights to guide future experiments. Each of these steps plays a pivotal role in ensuring your experiment is well-structured and informative. Let's dive into the crucial steps for identifying the narrow question. First, anchor your focus to the strategic aim. Consider the pivotal decision this test should guide, such as whether to scale TV advertising for product X. Next, specify the product with precision. It's essential to identify the exact product or variant you're testing, for example, product X in a 500 milliliter size, to eliminate any ambiguity. Finally, choose one channel and format. Select a single, manageable channel, like English TV channels, to help isolate the effects of your test clearly. By following these steps, you ensure your approach is both targeted and effective. Now we'll cover the essential steps to refine our experimental focus. First, we need to define the geography tightly. By limiting our study area to a specific region, such as North India, we can minimize the impact of market differences that could skew our results. Next, it's important to fix a time window for the experiment, establishing a clear start and end date. For example, from September 1st to January 31st, helps us standardize our exposure and measurements. After that, we should select the outcome metric carefully. Choosing a primary metric, like the monthly sales lift of product X with a well-defined baseline, is crucial for clear analysis. Finally, we need to form the empirical question that encapsulates everything we've established. By combining these elements, we can pose a focused question that can be rigorously tested, allowing us to make informed decisions moving forward. Now we'll dive into the importance of using large enough interventions. First, introduce a bold, front-of-pack local sourcing label to ensure that the change is clearly noticeable to shoppers. This helps in effectively testing the signal rather than getting lost in the noise. Next, avoid subtle or hidden labels that may lead to false nulls, where the results appear to show no effect even when customer interest exists. It's crucial to measure immediate behavioral outcomes by tracking whether prominently labeled items experience higher uptake compared to unlabeled ones, revealing any real effect. Then, decide whether to persist with the large label or pivot if there is no noticeable effect. If the label shows a positive impact, proceed to refine the label size, placement, and wording to achieve a better balance of impact and brand fit. This strategic approach ensures that you learn from the initial results before making further adjustments. Let's dive into the essential aspects of performing a data audit. First, you'll want to define the outcomes and guardrails for your project. This means specifying the critical changes you anticipate, such as an increase in recurring orders or improved customer feedback, while also ensuring certain aspects, like satisfaction in non-target areas, do not decline. Next, inventory your internal data. This involves listing core sources, such as recurring orders, customer feedback forms, and support tickets. These sources will help you reflect on the impact and stability of your performance metrics. Finally, add external signals to your analysis. This step includes tracking platform reviews based on geography, like those on Amazon and Flipkart, enabling you to capture broader customer sentiments that might not be reflected within your systems. This comprehensive approach will set the foundation for a successful data audit. Now we'll explore the next steps in our data audit journey. First, it's crucial to align your measures with the intervention design. This means mapping your data by geography and specific time windows, focusing on both pre- and post-intervention periods to make sure you can perform accurate comparisons. Next, it's important to set data guardrails and thresholds. By predefining acceptable ranges for critical metrics, like the share of negative reviews or return rates, you can catch any unintended consequences early on in the process. Finally, let's apply these principles to the perfume packaging test. In each test location, gather recurring orders and internal feedback, while also monitoring external review trends. By comparing these insights against control areas, you can identify any uplifts without risking harmful side effects. In this section, we'll explore how to effectively select a study population for your research. To begin with, it's essential to define the target audience clearly. This means stating precisely who your experiment is intended to inform, such as online-first younger buyers versus in-store older customers. Next, we will segment this audience using observable traits. Consider channel behavior, age bands, purchase modes, and recency to isolate the relevant subgroup for your study. Finally, it's crucial to check for representativeness. Ensure that the behaviors and contexts of this subgroup accurately reflect those of the intended customers you wish to act on. By following these steps, you can set a solid foundation for your experiment. In this part, we will cover selecting a study population. First, it's crucial to avoid cross-segment leakage. This means keeping in-store dominant customers out of online-focused tests and vice versa to prevent mixed signals. Next, ensuring the size of your subgroup is adequate is vital for credible insights. A larger group allows you to detect meaningful effects from your intervention effectively. Additionally, document your inclusion and exclusion rules clearly. This ensures that the population can be re-identified and audited consistently in the future. As an example, if you're developing an online platform strategy, focus on recruiting younger online-first buyers. This way, the results will better generalize to digital decisions. Now we'll explore the process of randomization in experimental design. First, it's crucial to define the treatment and control groups clearly. You need to specify exactly what changes the treatment receives compared to the control, ensuring that only one variable differs between them. Next, we must randomly assign participants into these groups. This randomization is vital to avoid any biases that might skew the composition of your groups and ultimately affect your results. It's equally important to block self-selection by not allowing participants to choose their groups. When individuals self-select, it introduces biases that can render your findings unreliable. Additionally, keep all other factors constant, such as timing, channels, and context. By maintaining uniformity, you ensure that any differences observed are purely due to the treatment applied. Finally, be cautious about avoiding timing-based biases. For example, comparing outcomes from different shopping days, like Sundays versus Mondays, can lead to systematic differences that confound your results. Now we'll focus on committing to a plan and sticking to it. First, it's essential to pre-specify your sample size. Determine how many observations you will collect before you start, and be steadfast in that decision. Avoid making changes midway through your experiment. Next, we need to fix the duration of your study. Decide how long the experiment will run, and allow it to finish as planned without interruptions. Finally, clearly define the variables you will be measuring. By stating which variables will be collected and analyzed upfront, you ensure that your focus remains consistent throughout the research process. Following these steps will help you maintain clarity and organization as you carry out your experiment. In this section, we will cover committing to a plan and sticking to it. First, it's crucial to document the details of your plan in a simple spreadsheet or plan file before you start. This will help you maintain clarity and focus throughout your experiment. Next, avoid any interference during the run. Resist the temptation to tweak the experiment, even if the initial results appear promising. This is vital for ensuring the integrity of your findings. Finally, remember to resist early stopping. Allow the experiment to run its full course to prevent introducing bias and to ensure the quality of insights is preserved. By adhering to these principles, you'll strengthen the reliability of your results. Now we'll explore how to let the data speak for itself. First, when reporting outcomes, it's crucial to include a range of results, primary, secondary, and even those unintended consequences. This comprehensive approach provides a complete picture and enhances your credibility. Next, it's important to show unimpressive and puzzling findings openly. Acknowledging results that remain unchanged or are difficult to interpret not only reflects honesty, but also helps others avoid similar pitfalls. Lastly, we must value insights over mere optics. Well-designed experiments can yield valuable information even when the effects are small or null, highlighting the importance of the learning process in research. Now we'll explore the idea of letting data speak for itself. First, be prepared for insights that may challenge existing beliefs and prompt changes in practice. Embracing unexpected results can be a catalyst for improvement. Next, it's essential to iterate deliberately. Each trial should serve as a foundation for the next, allowing you to refine your questions and designs based on what the data reveals. Finally, staying competitive through a commitment to learning is key. By fostering a culture of transparent, cumulative experimentation, you can build lasting advantages that grow over time. Now we'll explore the cautionary tale of achieving 1.5 million views without securing a single donation. This example highlights that while high view counts may indicate buzz, they don't guarantee success in achieving goals. Next, it's important to understand the difference between data and metrics. Data consists of raw numbers, while metrics are the specific numbers we choose to focus on that actually reflect what matters most. Lastly, let's look at vanity metrics. These accounts, like views, that look impressive, but often consume valuable time and resources without driving real progress towards our objectives. Now we'll explore meaningful metrics and why they are crucial for our objectives. It's essential to track outcomes that are directly connected to what we aim to achieve, such as donor signups and completed donations. Next, let's discuss the qualities of good metrics. Ideal metrics are consistent, inexpensive to gather, and quick to collect, enabling teams to make fast and reliable decisions. Remember, what you measure is what you manage. Clearly define your objective, which in this case is donations, develop cause and effect theories, and focus your team's actions on activities that will influence that metric positively. Now we'll explore how to define your governing objective. Start by selecting a single, clear North Star that will guide all your decisions, whether it's creating economic value or maximizing longevity. This governing objective is crucial as it shapes where you direct your resources and efforts. Next, it is essential to link your objective to meaningful metrics rather than just raw data. Raw data consists of individual events, while meaningful metrics summarize your progress towards that objective. For instance, in a retail bank focused on creating economic value, consider metrics that reflect value creation across various products and customers, using data points like account balances, fees, and defaults as foundational inputs. Finally, employ the governing objective as a decision filter. Ensure that any new reports or key performance indicators clearly indicate progress towards this objective. This approach keeps your resources aligned with desired outcomes rather than mere activities. Now we'll explore a framework to understand presumed value drivers through a cause and effect lens. First, we clarify the governing objective by defining value creation in terms of the organization's core levers: sales, costs, and investments. Next, we form the cause-effect hypothesis, positing that higher customer satisfaction leads to increased service usage, with that usage emerging as a primary driver of economic value. Following this, we select meaningful metrics. It's crucial to accurately measure customer satisfaction, service usage, and value creation outcomes that align with our core levers. Then, we test correlations to validate our links, assessing the statistical relationship between customer satisfaction, usage, and value creation to either confirm or refute our hypothesis. Lastly, we act on validated drivers. If satisfaction consistently correlates with value creation, we need to identify specific employee activities that enhance customer satisfaction to ensure our operations are aligned with our objective. Organizations must align goals with employee actions. Connecting objectives to employee actions ensures staff know how their roles support business goals. Consistency in activities and objectives keeps this link reliable and sustainable. To drive performance, businesses focus on identifying customer satisfaction drivers such as interest rates, service speed, and staff behavior. Finally, improving through training equips employees with the skills to enhance these drivers and deliver consistent results. Now we'll explore how to evaluate your statistics effectively. First, it's important to review metrics on a regular cadence. Setting periodic checkpoints helps ensure that the measures you use still connect employee activities to your organization's objectives. Next, be vigilant for context shifts, such as changes in demographics or service patterns, as these can significantly influence which performance drivers become most relevant. Realigning your drivers to reflect shifting customer behaviors is also essential. For instance, if your customers are increasingly younger and more digital savvy, prioritize online interface metrics over traditional ones. Before fully implementing any revised metrics, validate their reliability through data quality checks, including independent audits to identify any potential biases. Lastly, ensure that you clean and integrate your datasets effectively, which allows for easy comparison between periods and sustains valid trend analysis. Let's examine the essential components of trust building in data workflows. First, it's crucial to evaluate where the data came from. This involves vetting both the data source and its collection process. Engaging an expert for a quality evaluation can help determine if the data meets a gold standard. Next, we move on to independently assessing the quality of the data. By auditing a sample of 100 records across 15 to 20 key fields in a spreadsheet, we can flag obvious errors. This visual representation helps us quickly identify any significant issues. Finally, based on our findings, we need to make informed decisions about the data's usage. If we notice a lot of red flags or errors, it's advisable to pause or reject its use. However, if only around 5% of the fields show obvious errors, we can proceed with cautious optimism. In this part, we will cover the essential steps for building trust in your data workflow, from cleaning to integration. First, we delve into cleaning in three levels. Start by rinsing for quick fixes, then wash for broader corrections, and finish with a detailed scrub on your sample to ensure accuracy before applying rules to the rest of your data. Next, we focus on automating after sample cleaning. By transforming your successful sample fixes into repeatable rules and scripts, you can significantly reduce manual efforts and maintain a consistent approach to data handling. Finally, we will highlight the importance of ensuring high-quality integration. This means meticulously matching identities, aligning units and definitions, and then duplicating similar records, such as merging variants like Roop Kumar and R. Kumar, ensuring your final dataset is both clean and ready for analytics. Let's explore the concept of big data. At its core, big data refers to enormous datasets gathered from a multitude of sources, which grow exponentially and surpass the capabilities of conventional tools. It's not just about the size. The significance of what qualifies as big data varies across different sectors. For instance, in many industries, typical data volumes range from a few dozen terabytes to multiple petabytes, reflecting the common tools and dataset sizes used. This gives us insight into the scale of information we are dealing with. To illustrate this, consider that Google processes around 7.5 billion searches every day, which is an astounding rate of about 99,000 searches each second. This sheer volume of activity underscores the importance and urgency of understanding big data today. In this section, we will cover the dynamic landscape of messaging and social streams. With WhatsApp users sending an astonishing 65 billion messages each day and over 870 million tweets being posted daily, the volume of communication is overwhelming. Turning our attention to IoT growth, we find that the number of Internet of Things devices is projected to reach a staggering 41.6 billion by 2025. This explosion in connected devices generates constant streams of high-velocity data, further compounding the information deluge. Lastly, we face the challenge of volume and variety explosion, as global data is expected to surpass 180 zettabytes by 2025. Notably, an estimated 80 to 90% of this data will be unstructured content, which highlights the need for innovative approaches to data management and analysis. Let's explore the characteristics of big data, starting with volume. The sheer amount of data generated today necessitates scalable storage solutions, such as distributed files and object stores. Implementing thoughtful retention strategies is crucial for managing costs while enabling long-term insights. Next, we look at variety. Big data includes diverse formats, structured, semi-structured, and unstructured, which require flexible schemas and robust integration methods. This helps us connect silos of information and enrich the context surrounding the data. Finally, we focus on velocity. The rapid generation and ingestion of data drive the need for streaming pipelines and near real-time processing, which are essential for surfacing timely insights that can be acted upon quickly. In this section, we will cover the characteristics of big data, focusing on veracity, value, and variability. First, veracity emphasizes the importance of data quality and reliability. Implementing validation, tracking lineage, and continuous monitoring reduces noise and bias, ultimately strengthening our analytics process. Next, we turn our attention to value, which is about prioritizing use cases and ensuring that our storage and computing investments translate into actionable insights. By striving for measurable outcomes, we can make sure that our efforts lead to real, decision-grade benefits. Finally, we address variability, which recognizes that data is dynamic. Patterns and sources are constantly shifting. This means our models and governance strategies must be adaptive, allowing us to manage change effectively and avoid any disruptions in our data pipelines. Now we'll explore the components of the big data ecosystem through a three-layer conceptual framework. First, in the data sources layer, technologists and engineers focus on identifying, capturing, and transmitting diverse data reliably at scale. Data scientists then assess the relevance, bias risks, and sufficiency of this data to ensure it answers the intended questions. Meanwhile, business analysts prioritize the sources that best inform key performance measures and decisions, ensuring alignment with strategic questions and measurable outcomes. Next, we move to the data management layer, which encompasses integration, storage, and processing. Here, engineers design pipelines, storage, and computational frameworks that accommodate various data needs. Data scientists play a crucial role in assuring data quality and integrity, producing feature-ready datasets for effective analysis. Business analysts balance considerations of timeliness and cost to ensure that data services are both trustworthy and accessible. Finally, in the data analytics, business intelligence, and knowledge discovery layer, engineers provide the scalable compute capabilities required for robust models and reporting. Data scientists develop tailored models and statistical analyses that bring clarity to specific questions. Business analysts then select and deploy analytics that can significantly impact organizational performance, translating insights into actions that advance strategic goals and track performance. Each layer serves not just its function, but also emphasizes the importance of alignment in pursuing effective decision-making. Now let's examine data sources, which play a critical role in transforming raw inputs into interlinked intelligence. First, we have private or internal sources. These include operational systems, customer relationship management systems, enterprise resource planning tools, and application logs that capture the core activities and context of a business. Next, we explore cloud and software as a service sources. These data repositories expand scalability and accessibility to cloud storage, data lakes, and various SaaS platforms. Transitioning to our third point, partner and third-party data enrich internal insights. This data comes from syndicated datasets and partner APIs, providing complementary signals that enhance our understanding. Finally, we look at public and open datasets, which include government portals and statistics. These resources provide on-demand, real-time insights that are invaluable for informed decision-making. Each of these sources contributes distinctly to our overall data ecosystem, enhancing the depth and breadth of our intelligence. In this section, we will cover the crucial data sources that transform raw inputs into interlinked intelligence. Firstly, machine-readable formats like XML and JSON are essential as they enable programmatic access, portability, and seamless integration across web and mobile platforms. Moving on, we apply semantic technologies and link data principles to interlink diverse and complex sources, significantly reducing integration challenges. This is where ontologies and taxonomies come into play. They provide structured conceptual frameworks and standardized hierarchical classifications, allowing us to model meaning consistently across various languages and domains. Lastly, we must consider the impact of real-time social and IoT streams. These data flows continuously ingest conversations and device signals, tackling challenges around structure and patterns. Together, these elements create a cohesive ecosystem that enhances the use of fragmented data sources, paving the way for advanced insights and scalability. Let's dive into the essential elements of data management in today's diverse landscape. First, we explore NoSQL databases, which have become indispensable for scaling write operations. They offer flexibility by relaxing the strict asset guarantees found in traditional systems, enabling organizations to handle varied data structures seamlessly. Next, we turn our attention to elastic cloud computing. This approach allows businesses to dynamically allocate compute and storage resources based on their needs, optimizing both cost and performance as their data volumes increase. The ability to scale independently ensures that organizations can adapt to shifting workloads efficiently. Finally, we will examine the distinctions between data lakes and data warehouses. Data lakes provide the advantage of ingesting raw data with a schema-on-read approach, perfect for experimentation and agility. In contrast, data warehouses are designed for structured analytics with a schema-on-write framework, offering curated and governed insights. Combining both strategies can empower organizations to achieve a robust and flexible data architecture. In this section, we will cover essential modern pipelines for data management that enhance scalability and diversity. First, let's examine automated batch and stream ingestion. This technique operationalizes pipelines that facilitate data movement in scheduled batches and real-time streams, ensuring that insights remain current and reliable. Next, we shift our focus to quality assessment for noisy and missing data. By embedding profiling, validation, and remediation processes into our systems, we can effectively detect noise and handle data gaps. This approach not only preserves trust, but also enhances the integrity of downstream analytics. Finally, we will look at knowledge graph-based semantics. Utilizing knowledge graphs allows us to describe various data sources and processes, promoting interoperability. This methodology also helps us infer new relationships and insights, enriching our understanding of the data landscape. Now let's explore domain-tailored techniques in data analytics. This approach involves selecting and customizing methods specifically based on the unique class of problem being solved. As we move beyond traditional reporting, it's essential to recognize that simply summarizing data sufficed in the past, but the current emphasis is on learning from that data. This shift allows businesses to derive deeper insights and forge stronger strategies. Next, we delve into multimodal services, where solutions utilize a variety of analytical services, including text, web, network, and mobile, to capture a wide array of signals. This comprehensive strategy enriches the insights we can extract, ultimately leading to more informed decision-making. In this section, we will cover key methods used in machine learning and data analytics. Core machine learning techniques include association rules, which help identify co-occurrence patterns. Decision trees serve as valuable tools for making interpretable splits within datasets. For understanding numeric relationships, regression techniques come into play, while support vector machines offer robust classification capabilities. To efficiently handle large datasets, the role of parallelism has become critical since the mid-1990s. This approach allows for distributing model training across multiple compute resources, significantly accelerating the learning process. Lastly, it's important to focus on fit-for-purpose design. This involves assembling analytics components tailored to match specific data sources, constraints, and desired outcomes, ensuring optimal performance for varied applications. Let's explore the essential components of using semantics in big data processing. First, it's crucial to ingest diverse sources of data. This means consolidating raw inputs, semi-structured information, unstructured text, and rich media from both enterprise systems and external feeds to ensure nothing is overlooked. Next, we need to enable scalable storage. By adopting cloud computing and distributed storage solutions, we can effectively manage the massive volume, rapid velocity, and varied formats of data at scale. Following that, we focus on fusing data for context. This involves applying data fusion techniques to reconcile overlapping records and align signals from multiple sources into consistent entities, enhancing our understanding of the data landscape. Lastly, it's important to reduce dimensionality early in the process. Utilizing dimensional reduction helps compress high-dimensional features while preserving the necessary signals for effective downstream analysis. This approach not only streamlines our data, but also amplifies its value. In this section, we will cover effective strategies for big data processing. First, it's essential to sample strategically. This approach allows us to manage processing costs and latency without compromising the representativeness of our data. Next, we need to standardize via coding. By translating disparate fields into consistent coded values, we can unify formats and meanings, ensuring clarity across datasets. The next step involves extracting, cleaning, and integrating our data. This process ensures that we isolate relevant fields, fix any errors, and join datasets reliably. Finally, we transform the data for analytics. This crucial transformation structures the data, making it ready for models and queries, so that our analysis can proceed with confidence. This section examines the four lenses of heterogeneity in big data. First, we encounter structural variety, where we see differences in data structure or format, such as the distinction between a tweet represented in text or JSON and a satellite image depicted as a pixel matrix. Next, we move to media variety, highlighting how the same information can be conveyed through different media, for example, the audio of a speech versus its transcript. This leads us to the typical challenge of potential loss or change of detail between these forms, which necessitates careful synchronization. The third lens is semantic variety, where the meanings of terms or units vary across different contexts. A prime example is a high salary in Ethiopia compared to one in the United States, underscoring the risk of misinterpretation. Lastly, we'll consider availability variations, where access patterns differ over time. Think about continuous traffic cameras versus intermittent satellite passes. This variability can create gaps and alignment issues, making robust handling essential. By understanding these four lenses, we can better navigate the complexities of big data and ensure accuracy in analysis. Let's explore the evolution of analytics, tracing its journey from its early days to the modern age. Starting with Analytics 1.0, which spans the 1950s to 2000s, we see a strong emphasis on relational business intelligence and hindsight reporting. This period concentrated on internal, structured data, providing insights that were retrospective in nature. As we mark the transition to what practitioners call before Big Data BBD and after Big Data ABD, we notice a significant step change in the scale and variety of data. This shift was pivotal, heralding the rise of new technologies and methodologies. Then came Analytics 2.0, intertwined with the Web 2.0 revolution. This phase capitalized on social and crowdsourced systems, merging big data with minuscule integration into the analytics processes, dramatically reshaping how data was managed and analyzed. Next, we reached Analytics 3.0, characterized by the intersection of IoT and cloud computing. Here, hybrid, real-time services emerged, connecting sensor data with elastic cloud capabilities, enabling organizations to react instantly to data-driven insights. Finally, in Analytics 4.0, the focus shifts dramatically towards consumer-controlled data. This stage prioritizes giving customers a voice, allowing them to have full or partial control over how their data is utilized. It marks not only an evolution in technology, but also a profound shift in data ethics and consumer empowerment. Let's dive into the evolution of analytics, focusing on our second part of the exploration. First, the ability to combine multiple data types has become essential. Organizations now create value by blending structured, semi-structured, and unstructured sources for deeper insights. Next, the adoption of new data management tools plays a crucial role. These modern tools are vital for navigating scale, velocity, and the diversity of data types we encounter daily. Following that, we see that agile analytics and machine learning techniques are integral to achieving faster insight cycles. By employing agile methods, businesses can iterate quickly and refine their strategies. Furthermore, models must now be embedded directly into decision-making processes. This operationalization leads to actionable insights rather than just reports gathering dust. Finally, as analytics evolves, teams need to cultivate new skills, especially in discovery tools for exploration and developing prescriptive models. This skill set empowers organizations to transition from merely descriptive analytics to strategic actions that drive success. Let's explore the types of data analytics, which serve as crucial tools for understanding and acting upon information. First up is descriptive analytics, which summarizes historical data to reveal trends and outcomes that have already occurred. This foundational layer helps us to understand the past. Next, we move to diagnostic analytics, which digs deeper to uncover why these events took place. It analyzes drivers, correlations, and anomalies that led to the results we observed. Building on that, we have predictive analytics, which forecasts what is likely to happen in the future by utilizing past data through statistical modeling. This insight is crucial for anticipating next steps. Then, we transition to prescriptive analytics, which recommends actionable strategies by evaluating alternatives and trade-offs to reach desired outcomes. Finally, cognitive analytics allows us to explore what we don't yet know by applying advanced computing techniques to unearth hidden insights within complex data sets. Together, these layers of analytics transform raw data into strategic action, bridging the gap from hindsight to foresight. Now we'll explore the challenges in exploiting the potential of big data through a conceptual framework. First, let's examine the critical category of data. This encompasses the intrinsic properties of datasets, such as volume, variety, velocity, veracity, volatility, quality, discovery, and dogmatism. Each of these elements presents unique hurdles, from managing vast amounts of information to ensuring data integrity and uncovering valuable insights. Next, we move to the process category, which involves the methods and pipelines applied to data. Key aspects here include capturing data reliably, integrating various sources, transforming raw inputs, selecting the appropriate models, and ultimately delivering results in a usable form. Each step is essential for harnessing the full power of big data effectively. Finally, we consider the management category, focusing on organizational and societal controls. This includes safeguarding privacy, ensuring security, establishing governance frameworks for accountability, and aligning data work with ethical principles. Each of these dimensions is crucial for creating a robust framework for big data utilization. Addressing these challenges requires a holistic approach that considers data, processes, and management together. By navigating these interconnected layers, we can unlock the full potential of big data in a responsible and effective manner. This section examines the practical hurdles in exploiting big data. First, scalability constraints emerge as a significant challenge. Integrating complex sources, structures, and patterns often stresses the compute and orchestration layers, leading to bottlenecks that hinder performance. Next, storage management poses its own set of difficulties. High-volume data ingestion combined with lifecycle policies makes capacity planning, data layout, and cost control increasingly challenging. Additionally, system and computational complexity cannot be overlooked. Pipelines needed for cleaning, filtering, and transforming data elevate architectural complexity, increasing operational risks. Finally, we must consider latency and responsiveness. Cloud-based pods and upload speeds can create obstacles that hinder real-time needs where swift responsiveness is critical. Let's dive into the practical hurdles encountered when exploiting big data. First, we must emphasize that data reliability and correctness are fundamental. Ensuring high-quality data necessitates rigorous pre-processing to prevent downstream errors and data drift. Additionally, we need to consider the quality dimensions in our designs. This means accounting for completeness, consistency, credibility, and timeliness to maintain trustworthy outputs that support our decisions. Next, we face visualization challenges. Translating complex results into actionable, human-centered views is a significant hurdle in bridging the human-computer gap. Lastly, not all data is treated equally when it comes to security. The criticality of security can vary, and depending on the processed data, it may necessitate heightened controls and specialized attention from the very beginning. Together, these factors shape our approach to leveraging big data effectively. Let's explore the impact of big data in various sectors, including government, international development, finance, and healthcare. In the government sector, the focus is on achieving cost and productivity gains while ensuring public safety. This is accomplished through continuous monitoring and anomaly detection, which helps flag suspicious patterns in internet activity. Next, in international development, we see the dual challenge of poverty reduction and ethical deployment. Utilizing mobile and sensor data along with satellite imagery, organizations can effectively target resources and assess the impact of interventions in real time, all while considering access and bias constraints. In the finance sector, the emphasis shifts to faster processing and making informed decisions. Here, high-volume transaction data and real-time analytics facilitate better risk management and client insights. Finally, in healthcare, the integration of electronic health records and wearable sensors enhances personalized care by enabling predictive and prescriptive analytics. This leads to improved clinical risk prediction and reduced care variability, ultimately enhancing patient outcomes. These examples highlight how big data serves as a powerful tool across various domains by integrating diverse sources, applying advanced analytics, and aligning results with sector-specific goals. Let's explore the dynamic applications of big data across various sectors, including education, media, insurance, IoT, and IT in education. The significant challenge lies not in data availability, but in a critical skills gap of 1.5 million professionals, as reported by McKinsey. This shortage directly impacts the adoption of analytics in educational institutions. Turning to media, we see how behavior data drives targeted marketing and audience insights, allowing publishers and journalists to tailor content and create impactful infographics. In the insurance sector, companies are increasingly leveraging social determinants, such as food habits, marital status, and purchase patterns, to predict health costs and proactively manage risks. For the Internet of Things, sensors continuously collect data, providing valuable insights for applications in medical devices, manufacturing, and transportation to optimize performance. Lastly, in IT, platforms specializing in IT operations analytics unify disparate data silos, which empowers organizations to prevent incidents and enhance overall efficiency. By integrating these insights into decision-making, organizations can achieve measurable impacts across sectors. Let's explore some compelling case studies that showcase big data in action across various sectors. In the realm of government surveillance, China's eJob effectively aggregates population and activity monitoring data, serving to closely monitor communities, particularly the Uyghurs. Shifting to India's public sector, the combination of Aadhaar, birth and death registries, and census data allows for a nuanced gauge of electorate response and supports policy augmentation. When examining elections, analytics played a crucial role in the BJP's 2024 campaign, where data on voters and campaign efforts was utilized to enhance decision-making. In the UK healthcare sector, prescription diffusion data revealed a significant delay in the nationwide adoption of NICE guidance, indicating areas where improvement is needed. Meanwhile, the US NSA manages vast signals and communications data, handling information scales on the order of several exabytes for national security. These examples highlight the diverse applications of big data and the importance of clarity on purpose and scale to guide effective decision-making across different contexts. Let's review what we've covered in this lesson. First, we explored the importance of understanding data requirements, emphasizing how identifying the needs, sufficiency, and quality of data is crucial for effective decision-making. Next, we outlined the steps for data analysis, which include identifying key questions, auditing the data, and committing to a strategic plan. After that, we discussed big data insights, highlighting its unique characteristics, the essential components of its ecosystem, and the challenges it presents. We then highlighted practical applications, showcasing how big data can be utilized across various industries such as healthcare, finance, and education. Finally, we looked at real-world case studies that provided examples of successful data-driven decision-making, reinforcing the impact of data in generating valuable insights. With this knowledge, you're prepared to delve deeper into data analytics and apply these principles in your own work.